coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
All right, boys, we are live for episode 2 of the Dynasty Coaches Podcast. Feel like last time we didn't give y'all that much of an introduction to what we're going to be doing on this pod. We're going to try, it's going to be more of like a conversational Dynasty podcast. We're not going to throw all kinds of numbers at you, get y'all confused. We're going to run through trades that we make, give you college football standouts each week. Just a couple, not to overwhelm you or nothing, but to get you ready for the 2022 NFL draft class. Well, for one, my name's Brandon. I write for the Dynasty Coaches, and obviously I am the co-host of Dynasty Coaches Podcast. And then we've got Dylan and Charlie, my other co-hosts. Dylan, you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Dylan. I write for the Dynasty, or for the Fantasy Coaches. My Twitter handle is right here. Dmeaning 9688. Excited to give you guys as much feedback as I can to help you guys win your leagues. So,
I'm Charlie. I'm also a writer for the Fantasy Coaches. My Twitter handle is down here as well, Chuckster7777. Just here to help you out as best I can. Make sure you win your leagues and make yourself some money.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get into some news that has happened since the main Fantasy Coaches Podcast that happened on Monday. For one, we got Raheem Mostert going on IR with knee surgery, and he's expected to be out this whole season. What kind of impacts are y'all expecting since he's gone down?
Buy as much of Elijah Mitchell as you can. That man got the lion's share of the carries out of that backfield last week, and Trey Sermon was a healthy scratch. And I'm sure Sermon will be activated this week, but given that Mitchell did the most with his opportunities, he's going to see most of the carries. And in a Shanahan backfield, that is success.
Yep.
Elijah Mitchell is going to the moon. I mean, Trey Sermon was benched for a reason. So Shanahan does not have faith in him right now. So Elijah Mitchell, there's really nobody else there.
In one of my dynasty leagues this morning when waivers went through, somebody spent all of their free agent bucks on Elijah Mitchell. So, and every single team had obviously put in a claim on him.
Yeah.
So he's definitely got to get while you can if you haven't already.
Yeah. I mean, Fab and Dynasty is not really that big of a deal. So if you have a player like Elijah Mitchell pop up, you might as well just go after him. I mean, very rarely are you going to have the chance to be able to grab somebody like that after week one in a dynasty league. And for the majority of dynasty leagues I play in, Fab resets after the season and right after week one. So I'm not scared to spend it all.
No.
Elijah Mitchell to me is the guy to own there. Trey Sermon, of course, he's going to be active now. Another guy to watch, Jamichael Hasty. I loved him last year. I think he's a great pass catcher. He plays special teams. He's really good on special teams, which is why I knew he was going to make that team last year. It's going to be interesting to watch that backfield develop and see what happens. Let's go. Odell didn't practice again. Well, he's out this weekend, isn't he?
Yeah, he is today, I believe.
Yeah. What are y'all doing with him? Are y'all trying to trade him for maybe a second round pick next year, or are you just holding and waiting to see what happens?
I'm trying to trade him. I mean, it's 2 years in a row now where he's been dealing with big injuries. He's starting to become the injury-prone wide receiver that nobody wants on their team. So not only that, but the Browns are so run first. I mean, they had, what, 5 touchdowns
or yep.
something like that, and Mayfield didn't throw for one of them. So, I mean, the Browns run first all the way.
Yep. Yeah, right now it's more about the idea of what Odell Beckham used to be as opposed to what he is now, because when someone, if you want to trade for him, you're kind of hoping that you get, you know, Giants Odell, where he was just an absolute machine. But given that he's been, like Dylan said, he's been injured for the past few seasons, he really doesn't have much value left anymore. So you might as well get what you can while you still can.
I agree, and he's 28 now. Just the kind of player he is, fast twitch, you know, kind of similar to, you know, a T.Y. Hilton, not necessarily the speed-wise, but as far as, you know, making those cuts and getting in and out of breaks real quick and real hard. His knee issues and soft tissue injuries only get worse when you get older. I mean, you look at T.Y. Hilton, there's a reason a couple years ago I was like, trade him away for a second round pick. And I did it in multiple leagues. And everybody's like, oh, you should be able to get a first. Or I wouldn't do that. He's going to be a wide receiver too. And I'm just sitting back and I'm like, well, he's had soft tissue injuries nonstop for the past couple years. Why would that get any better going forward? And it just getting to be that time for Odell where it might be just time to get rid of him for what you can. And I mean, I would try to go for a 22 second, even though it's not a great class. Once that rookie draft hype pops up come March and April, trade him for somebody like Brandon Cooks or something else. Trade that second pick for a proven stud that you can get around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Evan Engram still not practicing. He just can't get anything going at all. I believe I've traded all my shares of him. I traded him from dirt cheap. I just don't trust him. Don't want anything to do with him anymore. How about y'all?
He's not worth rostering. He's been hurt constantly. He always shows flashes, but he never has been able to really put it all together since his rookie season. And plus, with Kyle Rudolph on that team as well, it kind of takes away opportunities, especially in the red zone, since Kyle Rudolph's kind of a big body. So even if Evan Engram was healthy, I'd kind of be fading him in it regardless.
Yeah, me too. I think that he's only worth something in the red zone. And, I mean, Giants aren't going to score that much this year, and he's not going to be healthy that long anyway, so might as well get rid of him while you can.
Yep. When he hurt his calf in the preseason, I posted in one of my leagues where I had him. I said, somebody come get him for cheap. Yep. I took the first offers for a 2022 second-round pick. I was like – or a third-round pick. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Washing my hands. Yep. And honestly, he is unrosterable at this point, and it's insane. You never see somebody with his name on waivers in a dynasty league. I mean, unless you've got a shallow league. But it's getting to that point where it's just – let somebody else deal with it.
Right.
All right. Let's move on to some of the 2022 or 2020 rookie quarterback class. Mainly, you know, Burrow, Tua, Hurts, guys we didn't see a ton last year, and how you thought they looked. Let's start with Burrow. Do y'all think he's back?
I do. Yep. He's got a plethora of weapons in there right now. And Ja'Marr Chase looked really good. Yeah. So I mean, if Burrow continues to play like he did this game, I mean, Cincinnati's going to be a force this year. That whole division is going to be good if Pittsburgh figures it out. But
yeah, I agree. The he certainly showcased why they drafted him one overall. He had a pretty solid game. I think he can continue to do it on a week-to-week basis, and he should be someone's QB for their future in dynasty leagues.
I think as he gets more comfortable with being out there and on his leg, he should start seeing more rushing out of him too. So,
yeah, after what we were hearing throughout camp of him not being comfortable, him not trusting his knee, all that, I was honestly concerned this season. I was like, what if that just scarred him getting hit like that and his knee bending that way? I mean, that didn't – I know it would scar me. I wouldn't even want to step on it. For years, I wouldn't trust it at all, especially when you got, you know, 280, 300-pound guys coming straight for you. But he looked good. He looked real good. He looked comfortable, not all the way, but as comfortable as you would expect somebody that suffered a knee injury like that.
My only concern with him is he took 5 sacks.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like the offensive line has been fixed.
Yeah, no. It's hard to fix it when you know, pass on guys and pass on guys and get to the second round pick, trade back thinking your guy's going to fall and end up – and he still gets picked, so you're left with the back-end offensive tackle.
Yep.
Just – they didn't play that smart at all. No. But Tua was somebody that I was expecting to have a much bigger year this year, especially with added speed to the offense. He looked more like a game manager in week one versus the Patriots. I mean, he didn't look anything special. He made some good throws, but it wasn't – it was almost like an Alex Smith with the 49ers, where he was just – dunking it down, throwing, you know, just nice, easy passes. I wanted to see more from him, but how'd y'all think he looked?
It looked to me like because he was in more of a game manager mode, because he was playing against a very good New England defense, and he was kind of just, I think he was in the mindset of, I don't want to make mistakes. I just want to be able to, you know, try and push the ball down the field as best I can, dink and dunk style, and just get my team enough points to win the game, because mistakes would cost me more with thinking and dunking. So I think in a game where he's maybe playing a defense that isn't as stacked, today is the one that we might see him try to push the ball downfield a little more, because he does have the deep threats to do it. I mean, you got Jalen Waddle, you got Will Fuller, he's going to be coming off a suspension this week, and you obviously have Devontae Parker. So I think we're going to hopefully see Tua not be too afraid to go to the deep ball.
Yeah, I think with Fuller coming back, that's going to be big for him. You have Waddle and Fuller going down the field, or Devontae Parker and even Mike Gesicki. I know he didn't get a target, but he's still one of the better tight ends. But my big thing with Tua, as far as the dynasty perspective goes, is Dolphins don't seem sold on him yet. And like just a couple weeks ago, we were hearing again that the Dolphins were the front runners for Deshaun Watson. So if Houston ever decides to loosen up on their pull on him, Tua could be with the Texans instead of the Dolphins. So
Yeah, and it's crazy to me, his deep accuracy has just gone away. Mm-hmm. When he was coming out of college, that was what everybody was raving about. His accuracy in general. Yeah, he was getting comparisons to Drew Brees, and to see that just go this early in his career is kind of worrisome. But again, he wasn't healthy last year, and like Charlie said, he was just playing game manager all game Sunday. He made that one terrible throw that no NFL quarterback should make off his back leg, turning backwards upside down, just threw it, and it got picked off. But I mean, he didn't look terrible. He did what he's supposed to do. They got the win.
Yeah. I wonder if the same thing happened that you thought was going to happen with Burrow, where he, ever since his hip injury that he got his senior year of college, that's just in the back of his mind, and that's where the accuracy is going. He's afraid to hold the ball and get hit again.
Yep, absolutely. And now we got to talk about my quarterback, who I thought looked the best out of every 2020 rookie quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
He played one hell of a game, and I love to see it. He had full command of that offense. Nick Sirianni put the wide receivers and Jalen Hurts in the position to make plays. He looked really good, and he finished as the fantasy quarterback 6th in 6-point passing touchdown leagues. I have him as a top 5 quarterback the rest of the way. I know it's Atlanta's defense, but he looked like he was for real. What'd y'all think?
With his rushing abilities, I think he has top 10 upside for the rest of the way. And he looked very comfortable out there. He had pocket presence. He knew when to move to avoid the sack. He has weapons now. He's got Devontae Smith. He has Zach Ertz, who's looking very healthy and spry. He's got Dallas Goedert, and he has a good offensive line. So I would buy up shares of him if I can, or if you have him already, hold on to him. Don't take any offers. He's going to be good for a long time in Philly. I think he's proving why they didn't take a quarterback or make a move for Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta admit, I had him as a bust this last offseason. So, I was concerned about last year, 52% completion percentage. His weapons did not look great last year. I was wrong if this is the way he's gonna play. So,
dead wrong. Yeah. He was insane. I love Jalen Hurts as a person. He's the kind of quarterback I want. You know, nonstop work. So much confidence. He believes in himself. He's not afraid to show emotion or anything like that. Now, I will say, I wanted Justin Fields when the Eagles traded up.
No.
I want it because as much as I love Jalen Hurts, I think Justin Fields is going to be a better quarterback. But that does not mean that Jalen Hurts is not bad or is bad. And he's going to be great for fantasy this season. If you got him later in draft, I didn't get him later in draft because I was drafting him in the second round in super flex leagues, like 3 rounds too high, but I just needed to have him. But he could be a pick that could seriously win you your league this year.
I've actually got a decision to make in one of my leagues, Burrow or Hurts, Dynasty. Who would you guys take?
I think I'd have – that's tough. I think Hurts offers more fantasy upside.
I think so with his rushing, but it's hard to go away from Burrow with all his weapons.
I know. But, I mean, the Eagles' young wide receivers look good. Rager actually did something. Whereas Watkins looked all right. I mean, he had the first 3 catches of the game.
Yeah.
And then Devontae Smith just looked ridiculous. He was open all game.
No.
But – with Hurts' rushing upside, that's closer than it was last year.
Oh, way closer.
Yeah.
That's a tough decision to make because they both are easily going to be really good down the line. But I think I would personally have a little more faith in the Bengals to put – Burrow in a position to succeed for a long time as they have right now, as opposed to the Eagles. So I would give a slight edge to Burrow, but it's very, very close. I could understand anyone's argument for taking Jalen Hurts in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a conversation you would not have been having last year. I mean, you're talking about the 101 in Burrow and like a 3rd round pick in Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Both, you know, honestly, it goes to, you could argue against taking a quarterback 101.
Yeah.
In super flex leagues. You look at last year, you had Tua and Burrow going 101 and 102 or 101 and 103. And then you had potentially the two best fantasy quarterbacks going 110 into the back end of the first round in Herbert. And then in the third, fourth round, you're getting Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it goes to show, take quarterbacks. You don't necessarily, they don't necessarily have to be the top guys. Just grab one. Don't leave your rookie draft without one, especially playing in a super flex league. Mm-hmm. You never know what can happen. Let's go with some players, some dynasty players who exceeded expectations this weekend, or some that let you down. Just maybe didn't see the opportunity, was bad team situation, what have you.
Someone who let me down this week, and I think let a lot of people down, was Brandon Ayuk out in San Francisco. For a Niners team that put up 40 on the Lions, for Brandon Ayuk to not have a single catch, had zero fantasy points, I think that was a little surprising. I think after the game, when he was interviewed, he said he wasn't as prepared as he should have been, which I kind of find to be a little alarming. I mean, you had all this time. What are you doing in the preseason? What are you doing in practices, the prep? So that kind of has me a little concerned long-term, because I'm sure San Francisco's coaches probably didn't want to hear that as well, and they might kind of take that into consideration for who's going to be on the field tomorrow.
Something scary about that is Dante Pettis, too. You know, relatively high draft pick. I believe he was, what, second rounder?
You mean not Dante Pettis, but what's his name? Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
No. Before, because Kyle Shanahan, remember, Dante Pettis was like a big or a higher draft pick, and he didn't prepare properly. He wasn't.
Oh yes, okay. I understand. Yes.
Yeah, and you see what happened, or what Kyle Shanahan did to him. He was like, you're not playing. I don't care how talented you are. You're not playing. You're not putting in the work that you're supposed to. And you see what happened. So that worries me, with especially what he said about IU, you know, not potentially being prepared all the way or doing what he should have been doing.
Mm-hmm. It's a slippery slope. He could easily fall off.
One of my guys, Dak Prescott, you know, I mean, there's always that question of, is he gonna be the way he was last year before he got hurt? And he came out and he exceeded expectations. I mean, he looked really good against a good Buccaneers defense too. So,
yeah,
I think he's probably a top five quarterback again.
Yeah, he's all the way back.
Yep.
I mean, you're talking, he had 32 pass attempts in the first half.
Yep.
They said, you know, where it was a smart way to play the Buccaneers, because you don't want to run into their defensive line. You don't want to run into their linebackers. So what do? You throw it. But yeah, he was all the way back. If you got him for cheap this offseason thinking that there was going to be some kind of rust or anything, then congratulations, because he's definitely top five fantasy quarterback potential.
Well,
I want to talk about somebody that's been talked about all offseason. Number one running back in this draft, Najee Harris. He played 100% of snaps. And how many fantasy points did he score? What was it, like 10?
Yeah, 10, 12, something like that.
It was, the good news is he played 100% of snaps. Bad news is Steelers' offensive line is garbage, and there's just not much for him to work with there. And, you know, they did play the Bills, who they're a good defense. So for your first NFL game against the legit defense and legit looks, aside from the preseason, you got to expect some kind of a letdown, even with 100% of the offensive snaps. They just – I think next week he bounces back, but he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on with that offensive line. It might not be this year where he's going to be that running back, or a running back one. It might be next year once they can get a little help on that offensive line, but do not trade him away for nothing or at a discount. He's somebody you just hold, and next year may be his year. It might not be this year.
Yeah, 8 of 16 of his attempts. I went back and watched all of his attempts earlier today, and 8 of the 16 of his attempts, he was either hit at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, I thought the offensive line was going to look good with how they were playing in the preseason. Hopefully they can still clean it up and get there, but I definitely want to trade him for anything because, like you said, he's going to get better. Whenever the offensive line is good, he's going to be
absolutely
a great running back. So
he's one of the few actual three-down backs in the league, so.
Yep.
Which is rare to come by nowadays. A lot of rotations out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an ugly start to his career, but
For him playing the 100% of the snaps just goes to show you how much faith the coaching staff has in Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland too.
Yeah, I mean, like zero.
Yeah,
he's clearly the one to own in that backfield, and any other running backs probably not too rosterable at this point. How about anybody have any wide receivers that disappoint him? Maybe like DK Metcalf. He may have been overshadowed by Tyler Lockett that game. That was Tyler Lockett's game of the year. You know, he's going to have those few games where it's only going to be Lockett and DK, and everybody else is just going to be pushed to the side. DK is still a top 15 wide receiver this year for me. I don't see it going, you know, too terrible. And, ooh, my man Steve here, Julio, big-time disappointment. I mean, that whole Titans offense was terrible. But let's talk a little bit about
the
Julio.
The Titans as a whole are just disappointing, so I really wouldn't hit on one person in particular.
I wonder what is going to happen with their coach saying all that stuff that he said about Julio, how he's mad about the big mistake that Julio made. I don't know. He's Julio Jones. I mean, he's had a great career, and for him to call him out for the one mistake. I mean, even though it was a big mistake, I wonder how this is going to sit with Julio.
I don't know. Hopefully, it doesn't piss him off too bad. I mean, I think that's just kind of the head coach Mike Vrabel is. He's going to speak his mind. He's in your face. He's going to let you know if you got to play better. And Julio definitely didn't play up to what they traded him for. I mean, he didn't look great. They made the Cardinals defense, that's been terrible the past few years, look insane. I mean, Chandler Jones had 5 sacks.
He was unreal.
3 1/4. That's ridiculous. You can't get anything going on offense when that's happening. And for anybody who plays IDP out there, Chandler Jones was ridiculous. And IDP 1-2-3 scoring, I played against him. He put up 63 points.
That was not fun to go against.
Yeah, my opponent's defense put up 100 points before his offense even touched the field.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was not too fun. but, yeah, Julio was – he was a major disappointment. Derrick Henry was a major disappointment, but – that's kind of like the story of Henry's life. He's not that great until playoffs comes around, and then he's going to win you weeks. That's just how it is.
Yeah. We got to remember with Julio, too, he didn't play in the preseason. So him and Tannehill don't have the rapport yet with each other. So give it a couple weeks. I think once they start getting comfortable with each other, they will be a little bit better.
Yeah. I think we're going to need to see how they do against this bad Seahawks defense coming up this week. Mm-hmm. If we see the type of struggles that we saw against Arizona, then I would be seriously concerned, because the Seahawks front four, it's not really that scary. I know they have good linebackers. I mean, you got Bobby Wagner, who still performs at an elite level. But if we see Seattle getting pressure on Tannehill a lot, and we see some struggles from Julio and even from A.J. Brown, who didn't have the greatest game either, there'd be trouble in Tennessee for sure.
Yeah, for sure. How about the Jaguars?
They look bad.
That was terrible. I can't believe, like, Lawrence, he didn't throw a lot of interceptions at Clemson, but he had some bad ones against Houston. I did not expect that at all. Houston looked – Tyrod Taylor, he's somebody you were trading, you know, a fourth-round pick for in Dynasty Leagues because you had Deshaun Watson and you just wanted some insurance. And now he could be your quarterback, too, for the rest of the year.
Did you guys see that report today about Urban Meyer being asked if he would go down and coach the USC head coach opening?
I was waiting for it.
After one game.
I figured he was going to have some kind of health issue after this season.
That's bad.
Yeah, they just – DJ Shark, he did all right. I mean, he didn't have like a terrible game. He ended up with 17.6 fantasy points, which, you know, he could have easily been your wide receiver 3 this week. And honestly, you'd be happy with that. Now, it was a lot of garbage time and stuff like that, but garbage time still counts. I think he's a wide receiver to own for now. I want to see more from LaVisca. Visca had 9 targets. He only put up 13 fantasy points. He didn't have a great game, but I think they're seriously going to get him more involved. He's somebody I would try to maybe get a little discount on this week.
Yeah. They had 6 drops also. So hopefully that doesn't continue, because, I mean, Lawrence didn't look great, but he also didn't look horrible with all the drop. So I think that they got to get their running game going too. They only got 78 yards rushing. Carlos Hyde had more rushes than James Robinson than.
Yeah, James Robinson only had 5 attempts, which means
you got your Robinson going. He's your best back right now.
So. Oh, yeah, by far. I mean, between Robinson and Hyde, they had a total of 14 carries, mm-hmm. which I get you're playing from behind, but to not even, you know, involve them into your offense, you're taking away part of your threat. I mean, Robinson did have 6 targets in the receiving game, which is nice to see. I mean, 6 targets for your running back is that's gonna help you out a ton.
He was split out wide too a couple times.
Yeah. But Lawrence looked like he belonged. Just give him time. That offense should get better. But
the thing I'd like to see with him is run the ball more. I mean, he was a good rusher in college.
Yeah, he can definitely run.
He only had 1 attempt.
He can go fast.
Yeah.
Someone that scares me a little bit is Mike Evans out in Tampa Bay, because in that Thursday game he was basically 4th in the receiving chart behind Godwin, AB, and Gronk, mm-hmm. and. If that's something that continues into the season, his fantasy value is going to plummet, mm-hmm. because Brady and AB seem to have a real nice connection going right now, dating back to last year. So I think AB is going to be the receiver to own, at least for this year, mm-hmm. and maybe next year in Tampa over Mike Evans.
Yeah. Would you trade a 2022 second for AB if you were contending this year?
I would, yes.
Yeah, probably.
He's going to be significant enough in fantasy to make a push.
I think so as well. He could be a great wide receiver four. And that's not even saying he's going to put up wide receiver four numbers. He could just be your fourth wide receiver, but put up wide receiver two numbers all season. Mike Evans looks like the odd man out. It's hard to tell if it's just one of his games where he just disappears, or is he just really the odd man out this year? And it looks to be that way because Godwin got a ton of targets, AB and Gronk. I don't see a fit for Mike Evans. He could be somebody on the move at the trade deadline this year. And for that reason, he might be somebody you can pick up pretty cheap if he has a couple more weeks like this.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Matt Ryan is starting to fall in the Ben Roethlisberger category of washed up? I mean, Falcons didn't look good at all. I think a lot of it had to do with the game plan, but if that's the case, maybe we need to relax a little bit on Pitts and Ridley.
Yeah, I don't know if it was so much on Matt Ryan. I know I'm an Eagles fan, but the defense was actually pretty solid, and the Falcons were moving the ball on that first drive. Ridley looked really good. Kyle Pitts, he had two drops, which they were contested catches, so I'm not really blaming him for that.
No.
But I don't know if I put him exactly in Ben Roethlisberger category. But he's probably not going to be – I don't think he can be your starter and you win a championship in your league. I think those days are gone.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if him losing Julio was too much.
Yeah.
To replace him with really anybody. I mean, Pitts, yes, but we can't call Kyle Pitts Julio Jones yet.
Yeah, definitely didn't look great. And, you know, Calvin Ridley had Darius Slay on him all game, too. They were double teaming Ridley in the end zone, which is also another concern. I mean, you don't have Julio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's not seeing the double teams. Now Ridley is.
Nope.
So that's definitely going to be interesting to watch. But let's move to the Monday night game.
What a game, by the way.
that was
insane.
That was one hell of a game. Darren Waller.
My God.
Derek Carr was just like – just throwing it wherever in the vicinity of Waller and be like, please just catch it. That's all he was doing. He had, what, 19 targets?
Yeah, 19 targets.
What, did he catch, was it like 11 balls that he caught?
10 or 11 catches, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, 10. That's that's crazy. 19 targets isn't going to happen every week.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, but it could also.
let's hope that last overtime drive with Bryan Edwards shows him a little bit and he gets more involved, because after seeing this, why even cover any of the other receivers? Just put three guys on Waller every single time.
Yeah, no kidding. It was insane to watch. Carr was just throwing it to him. That's all he was. It was like Waller was just the offense.
No.
There was no other receivers. It was just him. It was funny as could be to watch, but he has a real chance to be the number one overall tight end this year. Especially with, if he's going to get – I mean, I think his weekly average is going to be around 10 targets, if not a little bit more, maybe 12.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to watch. And then Josh Jacobs had the 2 touchdowns, which was kind of saved his day. He was on the injury report today with he didn't practice because of everything. He just hurt everywhere.
Yeah.
Did y'all see anybody else that kind of stood out in that Raiders game?
I think it's everybody was thinking Tyson Williams was going to be the guy, but I mean, him and Latavius Murray shared. So it's going to be a committee again.
I will say, though, for his opportunities, Tyson did look good.
Yep.
He produced, I think he had around like 18 or so fantasy points, which is pretty solid. Yeah. As to whether, you know, again, like Dylan just said, that's going to be kind of a committee because he did share it with Latavius. So we're going to just have to keep an eye on that going forward.
Yeah, are you sending out any trades for Tyson? He's a rookie, but he's also 25. He's an older running back. He looked really good. Or, I'm sorry, he's not a rookie. He's a second-year player. But he is 25. Are you trying to pick him up in any leagues for maybe let's throw this out there. Would you trade Brandon Cooks for Tyson Williams if you needed a running back?
Probably, yes. I mean, Cooks is in an offense that's probably not going to be great. They were great this week because they played Jacksonville Jaguars. So Tyrod Taylor's not going to be that good. Brandon Cooks not going to be that good. Tyson Williams, I mean, let's just say Latavius Murray, God forbid, does go down because Baltimore is death for running backs this year. Tyson Williams is going to be the guy. And he looked good on his carries. So
I think I'm keeping Brandon Cooks. I think that his week one performance wasn't a fluke. I think he's going to continue to see all those targets. All he's ever done is put up 1,000 yards, whatever team he's at. I've been trying to get Brandon Cooks everywhere. I would happily trade Tyson Williams for Brandon Cooks because while Tyson might be useful this year, he's not going to be next year, but Brandon Cooks should be.
That was my line of thinking as well. For Dynasty, Brandon Cooks is going to be in Houston. It's going to be productive for a few more years, pending, obviously, another type of move. Whereas Tyson's kind of just like this one-year thing because next year you're going to see, hopefully, health return to the Baltimore backfield. And even if something did happen to Latavius Murray, Baltimore still has, I believe, Devontae Freeman as well as Lev Bell sitting on the practice squad or just on a 53-man, you know, ready at a moment's notice. So we don't know that, you know, Tyson would just all of a sudden become the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would hold on to Cooks.
Yeah. The only situation where I could really see me doing that is if you're a complete contender, you know it's going to happen. Like, you're going to be in the playoffs. You need a third or fourth running back just for depth. And Brandon Cooks is your fifth or sixth best wide receiver on your bench. That's when I'm making that trade, where Brandon Cooks isn't sniffing your lineup every week.
My only thing with Brandon Cooks is, so in New Orleans, he had Drew Brees. L.A., he had Jared Goff, who was good back then. Mm-hmm. Pretty good numbers. Then he went to New England, who had Tom Brady. Then he was with Houston last year that had Deshaun Watson. So he's played with pretty good quarterbacks all his entire career. Now he's getting Tyrod Taylor, who decent at best.
Yep.
Does that 1,000-yard streak go?
Yeah, it probably goes away. And that's not saying, you know, Brandon Cooks comes with risk.
Yeah.
He's one concussion away from being out of the league.
Yep.
I mean, that was a big concern last year, mm-hmm. is if he gets hit wrong one more time, he's done. So it's really just pick your poison with these two. I would still lean Brandon Cooks because odds are he's still playing next year or in the year after that. But with that being said, thank y'all for listening. This was fun. shout out to the guys that came in here and put in their comments. Steve, Kyle, thanks for giving us questions. We love it when y'all ask us questions. It makes it our job even easier. This is the second show. The main website is thefantasycoaches.com. You can check out all our articles on there, I believe. Dylan, you've got a new one that just posted today?
Yeah, it's the Buy Low, Dynasty Buy Low, Sell Highs. It's a weekly article that should come out every Wednesday.
Yep. We're really trying to get – Dynasty is so much fun. It's the only thing I play anymore. It's just a blast. You can really treat it like a real NFL league. Fantasy Coaches, we actually have 5 days worth of podcasts throughout the week. So there's plenty to listen to. You can follow the coaches at Coaches Fantasy on Twitter. Great follow. Steve, our guy, our leader, our fearless leader. He's putting in a lot of work. We got some big stuff coming up. Can't wait to share it with y'all. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon Cook FF. And all right, guys, Dylan, Charlie, take it away. Give them your socials and anything you got coming up.
Like I said, I do the weekly buy low, Dynasty Buy Low, Sell Highs. You can find that at the Dynasty Coaches or fantasycoaches.com. My Twitter handle is at dmeanie9688. I'm just looking forward to the rest of the season. So.
I may have some Dynasty content coming up at some point to keep an eye on. I'll have to talk with Steve about that, obviously. But my handle's Chuckster7777. It's always nice to do a podcast with the boys. We'll look forward to hearing from all of you and seeing y'all real soon.
Yeah.
All righty. See you guys. We'll see y'all next Wednesday.
Later, guys.
Take care.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like pooper scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing up, blowing up, blowing that go.